Okay, if we're all ready, we'll start in 3, 2.
This is Last One Out, and you're listening to the Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. It all means something, and yet nothing to me. See, there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there. I wanna know, can you show me? I wanna know about these strangers like me. Tell me more, please show me. Something's familiar about these strangers.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are back again with the Munster guys, DC and C. Michael McGannon. So thank you guys for joining us again.
Hey, thanks for having us back. We miss you guys. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I assume this is for that one little short stories collection.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit, but they also have a special announcement that they want to have, but we're basically, what Logan's alluded to, I guess we might as well jump into it.
Because it's been since Christmas that we finished reading it.
True. But we want to give DC and Michael a chance here at the beginning, because they have some exciting news that they want to get out. And I'm not going to take any of your thunder away, so whichever one of you would like to, DC or Michael, would you like to give us the news that you have for everybody out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, I'll intro it and let Michael drop the bomb. It's it's been 3 years waiting, and all I can say is thank you to the fans and the readers, but 3 years later, we finally have something else to share with a certain series that we've been writing. Michael, I'll let you tell the news.
All right. I guess I'll do the honors. So later this month, the third Tuesday of this month, which is April 18th, if I can read correctly, we will be releasing book 4 of the Charlie Sullivan series. That's Charlie Sullivan and the Monster Hunters, The Dragon Gate. And it has been, I see Jonathan raising his arms in excitement over there, but it's been a long time coming. It's been something that's been heavily on our minds for the last 3 years, and we can finally say that it's coming out and coming to fruition and coming to a store near you.
Which is exciting, because I think all of us have been pretty much trying to keep up with it. We're rejoining Nash, well, of course Charlie, since he's the leader, but Nash, Darcy, Lisa, and Liv, and all their other companions. So it's good to see that this is hitting the shelves here, coming pretty soon. And you guys are taking it to Japan this time to kind of go in to tie in with, is this kind of tying in with your Yokai Tales that you had earlier? I guess it's not earlier anymore, it's last year now.
You know, it's funny that you asked that, because about the time that we were finishing some draft work on it and dealing with a specific character in this particular book, we were writing a story, a separate story on one of those characters in the Yokai the Yokai Tales podcast. And so it was kind of funny because they're the same character historically, but we were presenting them in different ways throughout the two stories. So it was kind of, I think we made some joking references back and forth, but I still had to keep that character separate.
Yeah, all the stories are very much independent where our yokai fairy tales are concerned, and where this book, Charlie Sullivan and the Monster Hunters, The Dragon Gate, is concerned. But there is crossover just because of the history and because of the monsters that are involved. So it's kind of cool. It was kind of fun to see that crossover and play with it a little bit. But you won't pick up one book and read the other book and find any character between those two stories.
Okay, cool.
But yes, to answer your question, Richard, they begin, well, book 4 actually begins where book 3 left off. Quite literally, there's a prologue that sets a scene, but then you were right back in the attack on the high school where we ended in book three. And shortly thereafter, the first team, the Charlie Sullivan, the Monster Hunters that you've seen together for three books, are now separated. And the first team lands in Japan, and that's where the ball gets rolling, and it literally never stops in this book.
And we do a lot of globetrotting, especially in the latter half of the book.
A lot of globetrotting, huh? Some basketball mixed in there, too?
Part of this story takes place in Japan. Part of this story takes place in what I would call a very remote part of Russia. Okay. Part of it takes place in South America. Part of it takes place in Egypt. Part of it takes place in Ireland. We're literally all over the world in this book. And it's not just because we want to go exploring. There's a very specific reason why specific cities throughout the world are a part of this story. So Dragon I can't give too much away about that, but it sets up the final three books in this series.
Dragon Lines?
Was it Dragon Lines?
Yeah. Can't remember the other name for it, but...
Ley Lines? Is that what you're thinking of?
Possibly.
The Ley Lines that you find in the first three books? We do have Ley Lines going on in this book as well. They're not as prominent, though.
Okay. I mean, they do play a heavy part, but they're kind of in the background. They were definitely set up in the first three books, and they play a big part, but we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about Ley Lines specifically in this book.
Yeah, don't listen to me. I'm just talking. Listen to Michael.
I was just hearing that would be how you would choose the cities.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
That's the big notice point.
For everybody out there, just a little precursor where we have a little bit of weather going on, so we're doing the best we can, but hey, we're going to push through. We're troopers, by golly. And so are DC and Michael, so thank you guys for understanding. Some of the things, we talked about the Yokai Tales being kind of mixed in with the Monster Hunter, so you guys visited about that a little bit.
Probably the monsters rather than the people, but yeah.
Now, when you said you're going to start globe hopping around and globe trotting with your basketball team, you wanted to... are you guys kind of... It sounds like you're taking a piece of each of your council members from the third book and kind of expanding in possibly their history, maybe? Fingers crossed?
Well, you're pretty close there. And I'll give you this much. There are six main portal cities throughout the world. Just like Hunter's Key is a portal, Hunter's Grove is a portal city that you really stayed in book one. Book two, you went to Ireland to another portal city. Mm-hmm. And now what we're doing in books four through six, you see all six main portal cities in different parts of the world open up. And you see those cities under siege. You see the caretakers more prominently from those cities in a lot of activity stirring. Book four primarily centers around Rashomon, the demon gate in Japan, which is an actual location in real life. But now we've put it into a fictionalized story. And so we start there. And then you get insight into the other portal cities around the globe and what's getting ready to take place there.
Okay. And we can't go into too much because this is fresh material. We definitely don't want to give any spoilers. So if we ask something that you don't want to mention, definitely say something and we'll say, hey, we understand. So, but you said there's a planned three more books after this one? Is that, you've already mentioned that?
There'll be six books total, so there'll be two more books after this particular series, or this book. I feel like this kind of sets the stage for what happens in the last two books.
Okay, cool. And one of these, it's geared for the young adult market, but adults, have fun. Get into this. I think most adults would have fun with this, too. The appeal for me as an adult reader was it wasn't dumbed down to where an adult couldn't read it, but it was written at a style for the young adults where it felt like it read faster. Mm-hmm. So for somebody that's looking for a nice, fast read, this I enjoyed tremendously. And I'm assuming you're going to be keeping that style for the rest of the series.
Yeah, actually, and that's on purpose. When we started book one, we started with a target audience, a target age group in mind. And what we wanted to do was for the books to grow up with the audience and vice versa. So the books have grown up a little bit more each time. Book four, and we just actually got a round of feedback from some of our early readers that this book, you could certainly tell the growth and the maturity of the team and the interactions between people. And so the story has really grown up. It's, as a matter of fact, one teacher described it early on in books one and two that she would read it to a younger set of age group while it still appealed all the way up to adults. But this one, she wouldn't read to those younger ones because of some of the elements in it being a little bit more intense. There's a lot more, for lack of a better term, fear factor in a lot of the scenes. There's some really scary moments, and we really didn't hold back too much, you know, while still keeping it in a young adult genre and age group. It certainly has grown up quite a bit. And of course, Charlie Sullivan and the Monster Hunters are now, you know, well into high school, whereas book one, they started out in middle school. So there's just a natural growth, you know, both in maturity, among the relationships. And you know what? We're 3 years past book three. So there's also, I believe, a maturity in the writing and the way Michael and I approach the story. So there's all around, I think it appeals even more to all ages than it ever has before.
Okay, cool.
I thought between middle school and high school there was supposed to be a drop in maturity.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that.
I guess so. We're trying to recover that, though.
I remember that being a thing for some reason. Not personally, but...
That's probably true.
What I remember of mentions in other...
Hormones kick in. So. Basically,
from what I remember of talk on the internet, isn't high school supposed to be one of the bits where maturity drops down? Middle school and after college were the supposed to be grown mature, wasn't it? Whatever.
I could probably see it a little bit with, like I said, the hormone aspect hitting you in your teen years.
And then the college drop in maturity is supposed to be because of alcohol, I think. I'm not quite certain, but I think that's why.
And remember as well that in saving the world, you know, you have to keep your wits about you a little bit.
Probably helps a bit in that regard, so yeah, makes sense.
I think one of the cool things about book four that I've been waiting on these years as well is you see some of the relationships really deepen. You see some love interests start to form a little bit deeper. And there's also a whole other set of characters that have kind of been in the background for the first three books that very quickly and very strongly step into the spotlight as primary monster hunters. And it goes beyond the teenagers, and I think it brings a real depth to the story, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, I watched one reader read a scene where this new group of characters stepped forth, and she started crying. And, you know, I was like, why are you crying? And she's like, I've been waiting since book one to see these guys step into the light. And finally it happened, and it just moved her a great deal.
Cool. Okay. At the end of book three, Chin had disappeared or been captured.
Yep.
And Wotan Gregory was got away.
Wotan Gregory.
He got away, so you still got them in play somewhere, and so I'm sure that's going to play a little bit within the upcoming novels as well somewhere.
Very, very much so. It's a pretty critical element in this book all the way around. And I will say, for most people who have read these books so far, they recommend keeping a box of tissues close by, at least for the first three chapters.
And a quick note on Wotan. I feel like, and I think there's one reader that we've had say that Wotan is one of those characters that you'd love to hate at this point in the game.
Oh, yes.
He definitely brings a darker edge and I don't know. As the writer, I kind of feel sorry for the guy at some points, but I don't think everybody else shares that sentiment.
Well, a good villain, sometimes you will feel sorry for.
Yeah, so. Just depends on which type of villain you're trying to write.
There you go.
Because there is multiple.
So that's good. That's good to hear. We're going to shift gears a little bit before we come back into Monster Hunters again. But we kind of mentioned Yokai Tales before, and that's worth you and Michael doing some short stories with the yokais. And then, of course, Michael's had his Hollow World series, has the first two books out, and he's working on those as well. And you have the Chaos subsidiary, so we'll mention all of those. Just to kind of dive off, is there any news in other fronts with those titles? And then there's another piece of interesting news that popped up on your website as well that I wanted to get into as well. But let's do your work first with the other titles that you're working on.
You get a second anthology out?
Yeah, every one of those that you just mentioned, the horror collection, Hollow World, and the Yokai Tales, all have new volumes coming out. The first one you'll see probably is the Yokai Tales book 2. Okay. will be the first one that jumps out at us. Awesome. Just on the heels of that, we'll actually have a Fairy Tales book that comes out that will be similar to Yokai Tales, but it's going to be a lot more of the European and North American fairy tales. Yeah, Michael has got the next two in the Hollow World series that'll be dropping this year. And then Chaos, the short story horror collection, has another volume coming out that might hit late this year. A lot of that's going to depend because we also have a young adult horror anthology that's going to be hitting right about Halloween.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Now, what I can say is that Chaos right now is being broken up into individual short stories with new artwork from a painter that is putting art to each story. And so those will be re-released individually. And you haven't heard it anywhere else, but I'll go ahead and share it here. There's a real strong chance that you'll start to see the Chaos stories put to short films in 2018.
Oh, very cool.
So we're pretty excited about that. That's not something that's real heavy public knowledge, but your listeners get it first. So
nice.
Cool. There you go. Thank you. That's nice. Yeah. That's cool, too.
I think the other big piece of news as far as our writing is concerned is at the end of the summer, Michael and I have a new adult thriller series that is set futuristically that will drop. And that'll be a three-book series that then spins off into another series in 2018. But there's three books in that series right now that will be dropping from summer through the end of the year. And that is completely for adults, thriller, I don't know, Michael, how else would futuristic.
It's futuristic, but it's not too sci-fi. It's not create any level like you guys were talking about Ghost in the Shell earlier. It's not even that science fiction crazy action level, but it definitely has a horror. I'm sorry, not a horror. I feel like everything we do has a horror theme, so it's just kind of like a go-to at this point, but it's definitely got a psychological and a thriller feel to it.
Cool. So you guys have been busy this last year and into this year.
Yeah, we really have. I think we've been busier this year than we have possibly in the last 10 years, and it's all been good, but a lot of it is that we have stepped back from a lot of public appearances in order to focus on these titles and getting ready for some things like filming. And I'll drop you another hint, since this is Comic Pop Library, I feel like you guys should know. 2018, right now it's slated for our first two comic book prequels. That'll drop.
Yeah, the Chaos subsidiaries you talked about?
No, these are two completely different stories, and Michael's writing one of them, I'm writing another one, and we're working with an artist to kind of bring a preview to those stories in comic book form. Hmm. And so this year, the end of last year and all of this year, it's really literally around the clock. I went to bed at 6:30 this morning. It's literally around the clock writing and editing and getting those titles finished.
so that 2018 we can work on the other media outlets that we're working on with some of these stories.
Wow.
Nice. So it's been very busy, but it's just been a very different kind of busy.
Well, that's cool. You definitely know I'm going to be interested in the comic books. Definitely. I'm going to have to pick those up for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have absolutely no idea what we're doing with that. So we spent the last year and a half studying and researching and learning to write for comic books. And the artist that we're working with has been working, you know, on learning how to illustrate for comics. Because as you know, all of that is very different than just straight writing or just, you know, typical artwork. So we're all kind of in that learning curve right now. And then towards the end of this year, we'll come together. And what it'll end up being is two short story comics that are put back to back. And I think, Michael, if I'm not mistaken, we've devoted 10 pages for your story, 10 pages for mine.
Okay.
So it'll be a 20-page comic book with two stories. And it'll be kind of a preview. Because we do have a bigger comic book story that we want to put out, but we don't want to tackle that one until we get the process down first.
Okay.
You want to make sure you can do comic books.
Yeah, comic books is a different animal. You're tag teaming with the art to a degree because your artwork has to tell part of your story. Mm-hmm. And it's a little hard sometimes to make that shift. And I think the most writers that have the easiest shift is probably screenwriters, from what I've read from different people. Cause
that would make sense.
Right. That makes a little bit of sense. So once you get that down, you know, and if you're working on your films as well, then, you know, you're going to be ready to roll probably after that. But yeah, it does. Like you said, it takes a little bit of getting used to, because even with our readers, we have some that came back to me and said they couldn't understand the comic book. And I would ask them what they were doing. I said, well, we're reading it, but it's not making sense.
Reading it backwards?
Well, I was asking them how they were reading it, and it wasn't backwards. They weren't looking at the artwork. They were just reading the words because they didn't think the artwork had any part of the storytelling.
Oh, yeah. So, that's interesting. That's funny. That's the back.
That makes very little sense.
Neil Gaiman tells a story of, I think it was a book signing he was having at a comic book shop. But he, you know, as an author, a pretty prolific author, he's written Sandman series and a bunch of other comic books and graphic novels.
Right.
He also had some of his full-length novels there, and he had a couple of kids walk up to him at that point, and they picked up some of his other books, and they said, how do you read this? It has no pictures. It's kind of backwards from what...
Oh, you know, my gosh.
The usual story you hear.
That's pretty good, too, though.
The pictures in the comics are where that they said this angrily or murmured or stuff like that can come in, and also what the setting is. Because they don't need to just say they're in a school, because you can see that they're in a school.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
True. A lot of your
features. Yeah, it's a very different process, and it's certainly stretching us as writers, I'm glad for that, because we need to grow, and this is one of the ways we can grow as writers, is to do something different.
Well, that's definitely cool. Like I said, that's one I'm going to have to put within my thousands that I have out in my collection. So
yeah,
that will have an honored place in my collection with you guys. So keep me in mind, please. I will definitely pick one up.
Always.
And then you also have, besides doing this, you're doing your podcasting. You've gotten back on that. You had a short break there for a while, but now you're back hot and heavy into that as well. So, again, busy, busy time for you guys. And I'm sure that's probably where the spinoff from the Fairy Tales came from, is the podcast.
Yeah, you know, we've got the Monster Guys podcast, which is our main podcast. And then we've got two story podcasts, and one of those is the Yokai podcast, one of those is the Fairy Tales podcast, where we literally just focus on telling modern day fairy tales based on, you know, creatures that have been found throughout the world in all of history, and then we have discussions about those monsters. And the books, the Yokai Tales and the Fairy Tales books, are, you know, they're being inspired by that podcast. And so the stories from there and the artwork from those books are coming from the stories we're telling in those podcasts. So, you know, if somebody goes to the Monster Guys podcast, say on iTunes, they're going to see, you know, for instance, today, episode 34 dropped of the Monster Guys podcast with Ken Gerhard talking about flying humanoids and all that kind of stuff. And next week, you'll see a Fairy Tales podcast where we have a story coming out about the Owlman from the UK. And then later this month, we have another story about a specific yokai from Japan that'll come out in story form. So there's three podcasts kind of wrapped up in one. For the moment, they're all in the same feed, but we're having a lot of fun with that. It's just it's a great outlet for us to talk to other people, learn from other experts, and tell stories that we normally don't get to tell in any other format.
That's cool, but also have to make mention. We mentioned this with Michael when he was on with his Hollow World. I want to mention it to you as well, DC, and I know we've seen each other, and I've also said this, but what you did for us in Yokai Tales at the back was greatly appreciated. And for those that don't know, in the back of his book, he gave some acknowledgments, and he gave a shout-out to the podcast here. So thank you very much for you guys doing that, DC and Michael. It was a very nice surprise that you guys did that for us.
Well, you know, you guys have been there from the very beginning with us and all of this, and, you know, we just appreciate your support, and not just talking to you from time to time, but we've become great friends, and we love just hanging out with you. So, you know, it means a lot that you guys have stood by us through it all.
Yeah, we got to get you guys back up here sometime and go back running around again.
Yeah, definitely. We still have to go out to that big rock you've got out in the middle of the field somewhere.
Yeah, that was about another 20-minute drive, so and that day was a little nasty, so that was a day for your Charlie Sullivan Monster Hunter series.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had the fog, we had the mist, and
all that fun stuff.
It was a lot.
It was a fun afternoon. I'm glad you guys were able to do that. It was fun for me as well to be with all the family there.
Yeah, we actually there's a train. We have a thing at the house that we call the Wall of Magical Goodness.
Oh, no.
Basically, it's just photographs and pieces of artwork and notes and everything that we write to each other that all go up on this wall. So it's this huge collage of memories and good times. And we've got probably, I don't know, 7 or 10 photos from that time when we came up there with you guys and travel around the countryside. You guys are all over the Wall of Magical Goodness. So
nice.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Well, for like the past year, I've had the picture of us up at AFW on my background of Facebook. So
true. That was a good picture.
Yeah, that was a fun time. I think they called it the because of the weekend that came out, the con staff just ended up calling it the Pokemon Go convention.
Yeah.
True. And you guys were busy during that show, too. You got to do
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know which side of my head my eyes were on by the end of that one. That was a crazy weekend.
True. But you guys were gracious still, though, with everybody visiting and taking time out to visit with us as well. One of the other things that you have that is new to your publishing company, I think it's under the Wyvern Peak Publishing Press emblem, if I'm right, is a new author you signed. So would you like to tell us about this new person that's coming into your fold?
Yeah, it is. It's under our Wyvern's Peak Publishing imprint, which is predominantly our young adults and middle grade imprint. And we've just signed Lauren Lynn, and she's from Portland, Oregon. She's a beloved young adult author that we've known for a number of years. She has a 5-book series out that she self-published, and when she finished that one, we began talks with her, I don't know, middle of last year or something, about looking futuristically towards working with her, and she had a series on the table that she wanted to write next. Ends up that it's a young adult dystopian novel, and it'll be her first venture into that genre. And we'll be publishing that. As a matter of fact, we're in April now. That book will drop at the end of May, late spring. So that one's moving pretty fast. We've been working with her for several months, kind of in the background. We announced her just a couple of weeks ago, coming on board with the Wyvern's Peak family. And we're very excited about Lauren. She is just top shelf individual and somebody that we really feel embodies the spirit and the character of what Wyvern's Peak is about. Just trying to release good, solid stories that reach a broad range of ages, that, you know, that just also does something different. It has a unique character about it. And Lauren fits that bill all the way across. So her first young adult dystopian novel is called The Recalcitrant Project. Will be out in May from Wyvern's Peak. Michael, did you want to say anything else about that?
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, she's also been, I mean, she's always been a very personable person, always very professional, but she's always out there with the fans. And that's something we've always tried to do as authors as well, is be out there, be available to people who want to interact with the authors and the stories they're reading. And she's amazing as far as what she does with her book signings and them just being out there available for people to talk to and hang out with.
Cool.
So it's really cool to see. And we're really excited to work with somebody who's willing to do that and who loves to do that with people.
Very cool. I'm glad to see that you got another one under your wings and you're going to start taking off with her as well. So it's exciting news, and I'm looking forward to getting a copy of hers as well and giving her a little bit of a shout out as well, probably in the future podcast. We'll have to make some arrangements for that. So
yeah, definitely. Like I said, she's a great person and she's a really wonderful writer. The stories that she puts out, her readers are extremely dedicated, and they've been with her for years and they just can't wait for what she puts out. And cool. This particular story, in my opinion, is very unique. The angle it takes, it's not just another Hunger Games or Divergent, you know, in that
Maze Runner.
And there's nothing wrong with those stories. I love Divergent and Maze Runner, but she's taken a very different angle with her characters, and it's turning out to be quite the unique story in that genre. So we're very excited about people reading that.
Cool. Very cool. We're definitely excited to hear that Lauren's coming on. Definitely excited to hear about Charlie Sullivan.
Right.
Looking at April 18th, correct?
Awesome. I'm super excited. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where are they going to be able to get that? I'm sure it's going to be available on Amazon, but also probably on your individual pages as well? Or where all is this going to be located?
It'll be on, I know it'll be immediately available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, Kobo, and probably Google, at least in Google Play, at least in ebook form. And then from there, we'll have it in, you know, several of the independent bookstores that carry our books. And we are working on a national deal with a bookstore, but I can't say anything about that yet.
Okay.
Because it's not set in stone, and it may roll out small and then just grow as our relationship with them grows. But that's, you know, definitely all the normal channels, you know, with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and stuff like that.
Okay. Are you going to have a print edition available the same drop date on the 18th, or is that going to be a little later?
Yeah, there'll be a print edition available for order, and people can get that in the same place. As a matter of fact, just like with all of our other books, if you go to, like, a Barnes & Noble and it's not on the shelf, you can ask them to order it like they do most books nowadays, and they'll order the book and bring it into the store for you. Or you can order through us.
So kind of like how I do links
up. I'll put some links up. And if you order through us, we can sign it and personalize it. But if you just go to a Barnes & Noble or go on Amazon or something, obviously we wouldn't be able to do that. But either way, however you want to get your book, it's cool with us.
Okay. So everybody out there, that is Charlie Sullivan and the Monster Hunters, Book 4, The Dragon Gate. Dropping April 18th. Go to your favorite vendors and pick up either your e-copy or your print. If, like DC said, if you can order straight from them, and you'd get an extra added bonus of the authors signing the books for you. So that's a very cool deal. So if you guys might want to go through their own site if you're interested. This has been a fun evening. We've had fun with DC and Michael over the years. This is another fun evening. We definitely love having them on. Yes, Jonathan.
I just wanted to say, as you guys know, I kind of done my own spinoff of Comic Pop Library, and it's actually called Jonathan's Room. And I did a review on Michael's book when I first read it, and then DC mentioned me on Wyvern's page, I believe. So I just wanted to say thank you to DC for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but thank you for taking the time to read Hollow World and give a video review. That was just, it was very kind of you, and, you know, happy to repost that and share that with people. And, you know, you're doing a pretty cool thing there. And again, just like you guys always do, supporting what we're doing, and we love being a part of the family.
Are there any upcoming events that you guys are going to be appearing at, or like you said, you're pretty much staying close to at home and getting all your work done?
We do have a couple of small book signing events and possibly a convention this year. We have not signed with anything concrete yet, just because we have decided to stay in and write.
Right.
And then working. Lauren's not the only other author that we're working with this year. We actually are launching a romance imprint.
Oh, my gosh. And
we've got a couple of romance books that will be out this year as well. And so with all of that, we felt like we just really needed to focus on that. And then probably 2018, we'll roll back out on the road again. There's a good chance we'll probably pop up to a couple of conventions that are kind of normal for us, and then we may be a part of a couple of, I don't know how else to say it, but like Bigfoot conventions later on in the year. But
okay.
Like I said, there's nothing concrete, and we're just playing it by ear. The real focus is on the writing and getting these titles to market.
So keep an eye out on the Munster Guys page, or, you know, they do have a newsletter you can sign up for, and I'm sure they'll keep you apprised of where they're going to be at. But as I said, they're going to be a little busy this year, which is good for us, but it's going to be work for them.
Yeah.
Well, we've been having fun. Again, everybody, make sure April 18th, go to your vendors. It's the Charlie Sullivan and the Monster Hunter series, book 4, The Dragon Gate. Some of the websites you can go to for the McGannons are monsterhunters-thebook.com, themunsterguys.com. The imprint that this is coming out on is wyvernspeak.com, and that's W-Y-V-E-R-N. peak.com. And like I said, there are newsletters you can sign up for to keep in a little bit of tabs on what the guys are doing. So the mustardguys.com is also their main primary website where their podcast is housed at. So be sure to click there and you can listen to their podcast. They got Yokai Tales, Fairy Tales, and of course their regular episodes for the Monster Guys. So very cool stuff. You guys are very busy. Very, very busy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I don't know if you guys have listened to the last, well, it just dropped today, but the Monster Guys podcast episode 34, we actually had the world premiere of our very first theme song that was written for the Monster Guys podcast. We have one more band that is producing a song for us that'll probably be dropping next month, but cool. Today we previewed that first song, so that was pretty cool. We haven't had that happen for us before.
Yeah, so you guys saying we're famous. Look at you. Yeah, music stuff done for you and everything else, man.
We have not had that done yet.
Just wait till I start breakdancing again.
Well, that is very, very cool. And I know definitely one of the ones I want to go back and catch, and you kind of alluded to it with the Bigfoot reference, but I'm kind of interested in listening to those because it's been a busy year for us as well, so I haven't gotten to listen to as many podcasts like I usually did in years past, so I've been doing a lot of editing for some reason. I don't know why.
So. No comment.
But it's fun. If you're having fun doing what you're doing, that's the main thing. So
yeah.
DC and Michael, thank you again for coming on today. It's been a blast. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us again.
Not a problem. Always fun to visit.
Of course. And we're having fun here. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening. We'll catch everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just want to set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me can make it anywhere. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Smile. No matter where you go, you know you're not alone. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save you.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.